Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll begin part one of a verse-by-verse sermon I did at Berean Bible Chapel in Springfield, Pennsylvania, studying through the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter is loaded with apologetic material and gives us lots of insight into false teachers. If you want both parts of this message, I'll tell you how at the end. But without further pause, let's get into 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." As we went through the first chapter in 1 Peter, we focused on really the foundation of Christian living. We talked about the importance of knowledge, of gnosko, of the experiential knowledge of a personal relationship with Christ. We talked about his deity. The first verse in 2 Peter talks about our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we went through the foundation of Christian living. Now it's exam time. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it's going to be the testing of our faith. False prophets, false teachers. In the Old Testament, God allowed false prophets to rise up among the Israelites to test them, to see what was in their heart, to see if they were going to deny him, if they were going to be led astray. And the presence of false teachers today will test you. They'll test your knowledge. They'll test your discernment. They'll test your love for God. And like trials, false teachers can either strengthen your faith or destroy your faith. So let's look at the manual now. Verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be," underline that, "false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." God promised there will be false teachers. You can expect them. Bill Settner, who was a former Jehovah's Witness, he got saved. And when the Mormons came to his door after that, when the Jehovah's Witnesses came to his door, he would say, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. I've been expecting you." And they would look at one another, "What's this guy talking about?" And he said, "Yeah, the Bible says that there will be false teachers among you. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, that might not be the best approach to take if you want to witness to them. But he knew what the scriptures said. So just like there are false prophets in Israel, there's false teachers today. And Satan always counterfeits the truth. Where there's the true gospel, there's the false gospel. Where there's true Christians, there's false Christians. You know, where there's the real Jesus, there's the counterfeit Jesus. Flip over to Acts chapter 20. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, "For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." So just like Paul, Peter's warning about the threat of false teachers isn't just from without. Now, I'm not worried about you guys getting hoodwinked by a Muslim or a Buddhist, you know, or an atheist. They're the people who are outside the realm of Christianity. But it's those who call themselves Christians, who rise up from among yourselves within the Christian church. Some of these people masquerade as pastors, as ministers, as evangelists, as authors, as TV, on TV or on the radio. They're worldwide. So there were false prophets among the people. What people? Israel. There were false teachers among you, the church. Now, why the shift? Well, in the Old Testament, remember, how did God get his word to man? He used prophets. He used prophets. We have the completed word of God. We have the finished canon. God, his modus operandi is not to bring us the word through his prophets. Actually, he's given us his completed word. We don't need prophets in that way to bring us a new revelation. Hebrews 1:1, that God in times past spoke through the prophets, but in these days he speaks through his son. Ephesians 2, the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Once you build a foundation, you don't need to lay that again. So, false prophets, Israel. False teachers, church, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. I'm in the pest control industry. Most of you know that. Termites are very secretive. They live underground. They come into your house in a crack in your foundation or a chip in the mortar of your brick. And they go through mud tubes. They don't come out into the light. They hate the light. They stay hidden. And when they eat your house, the wood, they eat from the inside of the joist to the outside. So often, you don't even know you have them until some damage has been done already. And the false teachers are like that. They come in secretively. They don't wear name tags. Hi, I'm Fred. I'm a false teacher. All right. They don't have 666 on their head or on the back of their hand. They come in secretly, and they don't immediately let on to the real teaching they peddle. Jesus, again, in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like you. They're going to smell like you. They're going to read the same Bible as you. They're going to sing the same songs as you. They're going to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, just like you. But inwardly, they secretly infiltrate their false teaching. You want to scratch Jude 4 in the margin there. It says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. It says they'll secretly bring in destructive heresies. Literally in the Greek, it's to secretly bring in alongside. Well, it begs the question, alongside what? Alongside the truth, alongside the good. Nobody believes somebody who tells all lies. The best liar is the one who can cloak his lie in the most truth. Even Satan told some truth in the garden. He says, in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. You'll know good from evil. And they sure did after that, didn't they? God, here, I want to test you here. I've got a little quote from Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. Talked about this in the past. A bestseller, sold 6-8 million copies, promoted by Oprah Winfrey. Just want to test you today to see if you ate your Wheaties, see if you can catch the heresy in this. You got to listen close. Here she goes. You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificence. You are creator. And you are creating the creation of you on this planet. Did anybody see anything wrong with that statement?
No, it sounds fine.
That's a big duh, okay? That's a duh. False teachers aren't going to come in and peddle this up front. It's just not the way they do it. I go into houses to do pest control, and they say to me, man, use the strongest stuff you got. I don't care how strong you make it. Just soak this whole place down. I don't care what you use. But they don't understand it. It only takes a little bit of poison to kill a roach. It only takes a little bit of poison to kill a rat. Rat poison is 98% good food. I have roach poison that's 99.99% good food. 0.01% is poison. And you might say, Fran, that shouldn't work that good. I'll tell you, it'll wipe out every roach in your house. It only takes a little tiny bit of poison to kill, to destroy. And that's what these false teachers do. They'll feed you a little false teaching at a time. Even denying the Lord who bought them, it says, and bring on swift destruction. And the word swift there in the Greek is takanos. It's not talking about the timing of their destruction. It's the manner of the destruction. When it comes on you, it's going to come swiftly. That word takanos is used in Revelation quite a few times. Denying the Lord who bought them. But false teachers will go so far as to even deny Jesus Christ who paid their ransom. Jude 4, again, it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So Peter says they'll deny the Lord who bought them. How? Well, he doesn't exactly say. There's several ways you can deny the Lord. Number one, what comes to my mind immediately, you can deny his deity. And the JWs and the Mormons, they'll deny that Jesus is God. Look at chapter 3. Flip over a page. Verse 3. "Knowing this first, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning.'" Denying his coming. Challenging the Lord's trustworthiness. You can deny Jesus by denying his full atonement. Jesus paid for our sin, yeah, but if you want to be saved, it's Jesus plus something. It's always Jesus plus, denying his full atonement. Plenty of groups do that. They add works to the gospel. Mormonism is sneaky. In the Book of Mormon, it says, "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved." That sounds pretty good. Comma, "after all we can do." That's pretty sneaky, isn't it? But we have a kind of a new breed, I think, of false teachers coming in, and you got to be really careful with these people. And listen, I'm not judging people's salvation. If I mention names, I'm not judging their salvation. I'm testing them in the light of Scripture. We have the emergent church coming in, people like Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, and they're questioning key doctrines, historic doctrines of Christianity. Is hell eternal? Questioning why did Jesus come? The whole thing now is to usher in God's kingdom, that we need to clean up the earth, and we need to help our neighbors and better society. And I'm all for bettering society, but that's not why Jesus came. He said, "I've come to seek and save that which was lost." He came to die. That's why he came. Another breed of false teaching in the church today. You don't really have to deny Jesus to deny Jesus. All you have to do is preach around him. And we have a lot of people doing that today. You'll accomplish the same thing as the false teachers if you just ignore him. Or if you preach half the gospel. That Jesus came to make your life better. He came to give you more self-esteem. He came so you can have victory and talk about all the love and the mercy and the grace, and don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about God's wrath. Don't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the Robert Schulers. We have the Joel Osteens who are ignoring the real Jesus. They're preaching around him, and listen, they're going to be accountable someday when they stand before God. I'm not judging their salvation, but I don't want to be them on the day of judgment for teaching that stuff. I really don't. Verse 2 says, "Many will follow their destructive ways." I met a woman when I was newly saved and did work at her house. And she said, "Yeah, my daughter goes to a Seventh-day Adventist church." And I was very tactful back then. I said, "That's a cult." And she said, "No, it's not." She said, I went there once. She said, "Lots of people go there." Well, many will follow their destructive ways. False teachers have successful ministries. They have successful TV programs, radio programs. Jesus said, "False prophets will rise up and deceive many." The way to life, Jesus said, is narrow. The way to destruction is broad. Notice the shift here from destructive heresies in verse 1 to destructive ways in verse 2. Now, what you believe affects how you live. Titus 1:16 says, "Those who profess to know God, but in works they deny him." When doctrine goes bad, so do hearts, so do morals. It goes right out the window. Some people say doctrine's not important. I'm sorry. Doctrine is very important, because once doctrine goes, anything is opened up. And you can always find a scripture to justify your immorality. You can always find one. A woman, she came to her pastor. She said, "I want a divorce." The pastor said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I found a new guy. I like him better." Well, the pastor said, "I can't condone that." I mean, and she came to him, and he said, "Listen, if you can show me from scripture, I can sanction it. Is your husband, did he commit adultery? Is he abusing you?" "Oh, no, I just found a new guy." And she kept coming to him, and he kept saying, "You have to show me from scripture." One day she came in and she said, "I found the scripture. It's in Ephesians. It says, put on the new man." Now, we laugh at that. But that's what happens when you go to the scripture and you just pull something out and you twist it to justify whatever you want. Joseph Smith rose up and he had a wandering eye. Was that a problem? Nope. He just said, "Polygamy. I want to institute the doctrine of polygamy. Actually, God told me that in order to get to heaven, you have to practice polygamy." And that fulfilled his lust right there. And we have people on TV who are greedy and they say, God told me somebody's going to give $1,000 tonight. We're not getting out of here until somebody gives $1,000. And some poor guy reaches in his pocket. He has his income tax return. He knew he shouldn't have brought that. And then he gives it over to him and he gets hoodwinked. So many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And the world looks at David Koresh. They look at Jim Jones. They look at the Catholic priest scandal. They look at the kooks on TV, the Word of Faith people, the liberal churches, and they say they're all a bunch of hypocrites. They just lump us all together. They blaspheme the way of truth. They slander God. They ruin souls by misrepresenting Christ. Verse 3 says, by covetousness they will exploit you. That word exploit is the Greek word where we get our word emporium, a marketplace, a place of business. I like the Authorized Version says that by covetousness they will make merchandise of you. They'll use you for self-gain. Galatians 4:17 says they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. And greed motivates their ministry, not grace. They're self-serving. They're self-indulgent. Paul would write to Timothy about people who use godliness as a means of gain. I think this is really one of the two major sins of false teachers, not the doctrines, but it seems to be they're always into greed, and we'll see next week they're always into adultery. And you've heard them on TV with the miracle oil and the prayer cloths and their 12-part tape series that if you get this tape series for $150, you'll be rich. And there's a way to ask for money. Ministries need money. Churches need money to operate. There's a way to do it. But when they get on these hucksters and they spend time and beg for money, God is not bankrupt. Jesus did not file chapter 11. The church is not going under. Watch out for these people. Peter Popoff. Does anybody remember that guy, Peter Popoff? He was big in the 80s, and I wasn't saved in the 80s. But here's a guy who had a very successful healing ministry. And he would draw many people to his crusades, and he would talk about somebody in the audience who they live at such and such an address, and they have this ailment. And he would rake in all kinds of money through this. And some skeptics went in there, and they brought radio transmission devices, and they picked up his wife feeding him information. He had an earpiece in, and she would be in the audience and say, "There's a woman in the second row. She lives on Main Street in Darby, and she's got this wrong." And he was actually exposed on the Johnny Carson show in 1987. He declared bankruptcy, and he's back. He came back. In 2004, his salary was over $500,000. He had a $90,000 convertible Porsche. And now I think he made over $1 million. It was either in 2005 or 2006. And he's buying infomercials on the Travel Channel, Vision TV, BET. Is that Black Entertainment? Yeah. And my favorite, Comedy Central, where he should stay on Comedy Central. Peter Popoff, a guy you should stay away from.
So they exploit you with deceptive words. Very interesting word in the Greek, deceptive. It's the word plastos, P-L-A-S-T-O-S. What word in English does that remind you of?
Plastic.
Right. One thing about plastic, you can bend it any shape you want. You can make anything out of plastic. You can mold it any way you want. And that's actually what the word means. It means molded or formed. And they know, these people, how to work their audience. They know how to win friends. They know what the right thing to say to the right person is. We have the people today who, 2 Timothy 4, who just say what will tickle people's ears. What's going to draw the crowd? For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, they're going to get what's coming to them. How do I know? Verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," the Greek word Tartarus, it's from the Greek mythology, it's the lowest part of hell, Peter borrowing that word, only used here, I believe, in the New Testament. "If God didn't spare the angels, but delivered them to Tartarus and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment," Jude 6 talks about it. "Angels who did not keep their proper domain or their first estate, but left their own abode, he, God, has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So if he didn't spare them, and verse 5 says he did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Verse 7. It says that God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Verse 9 is really the point of this whole section. It says, God did not spare the angels. If he destroyed the ancient world, overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. The point is verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust, under punishment for the day of judgment." God knows how to keep the righteous righteous, even in an unrighteous place. He knows how to keep you from falling. The Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. He knows how to keep you under his salvation, in the palm of his hand. Jesus said, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." He kept Noah under grace. He kept Daniel pure in an ungodly place. He kept Joseph godly. He knows how to keep you. Verse 10 and 11, and we'll finish. "And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority." The authority there is literally in the Greek dominion or power, lordship. It says they are presumptuous. It literally means they're daring. They're daredevils. They're bold. They're self-willed. They're self-pleasing, it means. "They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries," literally glorious ones, angels perhaps, "whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." You want to put Jude 9 in your margin there that says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, which said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" But it says, Michael the archangel, whose name means who is like God, he didn't even accuse Satan. He had respect for authority. We have the ignorance and the arrogance of false teachers who have no respect for authority. Well, you might say, "Fran, I talked about false teachers, and what do I do to protect myself against getting hoodwinked, being deceived, being made merchandise by these people?" Go back to Acts 20. Paul said, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Verse 32, here it is. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." It's God and God's word and God's grace, who is going to keep us from the evil one. He's going to keep us from being deceived.
If you're interested in a copy of both parts of this verse-by-verse teaching through 2 Peter chapter 2, you can contact me by email or phone. My email is help@towertotruth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. For more info on cults, our website again is towertotruth.net. And you can visit us at Berean Bible Chapel on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the Springfield Shopping Center at Routes 1 and 320 next to Hibachi Japanese Restaurant. And don't miss us next week for another hot apologetic issue. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.